The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And most of us probably will recognize these as being words spoken by Jesus Christ as he died on the cross. Some have asked and some have wondered whether or not the Father really did forsake Jesus as he hung there on the cross, dying for our sins. So go with me to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. That's where I was reading from or quoting from there. Matthew 27 and verse 46, and it says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The answer to the question is yes and no. And of course, I know you know that I'm going to need to explain the answer. Knowing the correct answer to this question is very important and is also very good for us to understand why the answer is what it is. We all know that except for Jesus Christ, all humans who have ever lived have sinned. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course we know, as I already stated, Jesus Christ never sinned. We also all know that sin, which is the breaking or the transgression of God's law, we know that from 1 John 3, verse 4, that it requires the breaking of the law of God, requires the penalty of death. That's in Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We also all know that this cuts one off from God. This breaking, this violating of the law of God cuts one off from God. Let's go to John chapter 9 and verse 31. John chapter 9 and verse 31. Now we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Now I want to read it. There's a clear translation there in the King James Version, but also want to read it now in the New International Version. It says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners. He hears the godly person who does his will." We're going to come back to these words later in the sermon. Now, if you would, go with me to the book of Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." So we know very plainly that God can hear. We understand God can hear. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He's powerful enough. He's God, and he can hear us. And then we go to verse 2. It says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And so we go back again and just restating what was stated in John 9 and verse 31. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who's doing his will. Then on the other hand, we also should know and understand that when one does repent and does change and does turn around and does go in the right direction and does overcome, then we also should understand that God will hear and God will answer that person's request. We just read that. We just read it. John 9:31. That verse says, "Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him God hears." So it's very plain there are people that God hears and there are people that God does not hear. He hears those who is doing the will of God. He does not hear those who are not doing the will of God, because that when we're not doing the will of God, that's called sin, that separates God from us or us from God. So I have a couple of questions for us to consider. Did Jesus sin? Or was Jesus a sinner? And the second question is, if the reason that some might think that the Father cut him off from his only begotten Son, who poured out his life blood and finally died on the cross? And of course, the answer is no, not at all. Now, I want us to look at this closer. First of all, we need to understand that Jesus Christ was perfect. He never sinned. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2 verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Verse 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So we understand he did not sin. The Bible is very plain. It's either true he did not sin or the Bible is not true. And we believe the Bible to be true. We based our whole life upon that very statement. Therefore, we know Jesus Christ is not, was not a sinner. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, willingly took on our sins and by his shed blood and by his death, suffered the penalty of sin for all of us. John 1 and verse 29. The next day John, this is John the Baptist, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." So he was understood. John got it. He understood the point. I'm referring to here John the Baptist. He understood that Jesus Christ was this Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. He understood that Jesus Christ came to take away the sins of the world. Yet he did no sin. We've already seen that. While on the cross, Jesus bore the sins of all of humanity, paying that penalty for all sins. Our sins, not his sins, because he had none. At this point, I want us to read several verses. This is a little out of the ordinary for me, but I'm going to read several verses, not to try and make the point, but to simply drive the point home in our mind and get this in our mind and in our hearts and in our thinking as we are preparing in the next few hours for the coming of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, that we can recognize, we can think on more about Jesus Christ and God the Father. So we're going to see several passages here. The first one, let's start in Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. "But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So it's real plain. It says, Paul is telling the Corinthian church that Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, saying that he was going to come and he was going to die. And he says, "I delivered that to you." He died. He died for our sins. Galatians 1, verse 3. "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father." So his doing what Jesus did according to what Jesus did according to the word of God was according to the will of the Father. Let's go on. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," and Paul adds on, "of whom I am chief." We know Paul's background, we know understanding, we can recognize why he would have said such a thing as this, because how he had persecuted Christians and because he had been contrary to the way of life of God. But the point that he makes here is that it is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, talking about Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory, the brightness of the glory of God, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I have a few more. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming the second time without sin because he never had sin the first time. He never had sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 John 3 and verse 5. 1 John 3 and verse 5. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. We started this section with these words back in John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." Therefore, we begin to see that Jesus was cut off from God while on the cross because sin separates man from God. And we also see that Jesus Christ was at that moment the sin bearer. If God the Father was going to accept Jesus' one supreme sacrifice as payment for all the sins of all of mankind, then I think that we need to see it, and I think we need to understand it, that God the Father had to turn his back, as it were, on the sins. So did he forsake him? Yes and no. Was it truly a forsaking of Jesus Christ? You think Jesus Christ and God the Father wasn't in constant contact? He knew about the beating. He knew about the torture. He knew that all the things that they had done to him. He came at this particular time. He's on the cross. He's dying for our sins. And moments before he dies, he cries out these words. And then just moments later, he says, "It is finished." Who's he talking to? The Father. "Into your hands I commend, I give my spirit." Was the Father there with him at that time? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Father had to let or to allow, whatever term we would want to use there, he had to allow him to pay the full penalty for our sins. It was the plan. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Why? And how? Because he died for our sins. And then go with me to 1 John 3:16. "Hereby perceive we," or "hereby we know," this is how we know what love is. "Because he," Jesus, "laid down his life for us." And we are to have that same heart, have that same attitude, have that same willingness that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for one another. Are we going to be required to lay down our lives in this way? Absolutely not. But we are asked to be willing to give our lives for one another. It's a question that we might ask ourselves. Are you willing? Am I willing? Are we willing to lay down our lives for somebody else? It's a question to think about. Brethren, do we see that God so loved the world that he was willing to cut himself off from his perfect, loving, and obedient Son so that that Son could bear the sins of the world. And when we think about it, then the only conclusion we can come to is how absolutely great and wonderful God's true love is toward us all, toward all of mankind. We just, at this point, get to see it and get to recognize it and to understand it and to praise God the Father and to praise Jesus Christ for this. The world who doesn't understand this and does not accept this yet, they just don't know it yet. And we do. And we do. So, brethren, we need to remember God forgives and God applies Jesus' sacrifice only to those who have truly repented, those who are willing to turn from their evil ways, those who are willing to turn from those evil ways, which is the very thing that caused Jesus Christ to go through what he went through, the thing that made it necessary for him to come down and for him to die. Those are the ones that God will listen to, that God forgives and applies the sacrifice of Jesus Christ toward those lives. Jesus Christ came to save man from his sins, not in his sins. I want us to think about this particular question. Did the Father turn away from or abandon, as the word could actually literally in our usage today be more accurately, did the Father abandon Jesus at that moment in time? Or was the Father really turning away from the sins Jesus had taken upon himself? Earlier I stated that we'll come back to this particular verse. And we've read it several times, but I want to read it again here because I want to focus on this. And that's John 9 in verse 31. And I'm going to read it again in the NIV. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. This is the point that I said we'd come back to see. Jesus Christ was not a sinner. At that moment that he was up on this cross as he was dying for our sins, at that moment, he was living out the will of the Father. Read the verse again. He does not listen to sinners. Was Jesus Christ a sinner? No. Was what Jesus Christ doing on the cross a sin? No. What was he doing while he was on the cross? Carrying out the will of the Father. Verse says, he listens to the godly person who does God's will. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, slain from the foundation of the world. So had he, as sometimes it has been stated in times past, even in the church, that God completely turned his back on Jesus and left him there totally by himself. Do you believe that? I don't. I believe he turned away from the sins, not from Jesus Christ. You're going to go, well, what's the big deal? Is there really a big difference? And the answer is, absolutely there is a big difference. Absolutely there is a big difference. So we come back and so we ask the question again, then why did Jesus ask the question that he asked? Didn't he know that the Father had to turn, as it were, turn his back on sin and forsake the sin bear while he was carrying out the sins of the world? The answer is, of course he knew this. Of course he understood this. Jesus fully recognized that God had to turn away from the sins that were now upon him, upon Jesus, if the world were going to receive an atonement for their sins. Yes, he understood this. Yes, he recognized this. This was one of the very reasons why Jesus Christ came into the world, was for this very purpose, this very moment in time. He felt, he sensed the separation of the moment. Jesus Christ was so sensitive, even in his human life, and if we look at some of this and we go, well, how could he sense the moment that the Father didn't even look upon him because he maybe turned his head for that second for him to recognize what was going on. Jesus Christ was walking along in a group of people one time, and someone touched the hem of his garment. Didn't tap him on his shoulder, didn't hit him, didn't spit on him, didn't do any of these kinds of things to get his attention. Simply touched the hem of the garment. And he stops and he says, "Who touched me?" And the crowd is all around him. And the disciple says, what are you talking about? Who touched you? There's all kinds of people around you and touching you. He understood it and he felt it in a totally different direction than what we're sensitive to. And the scripture goes on and says there, it says, because virtue had gone out. So we understand that this was one of the reasons why Jesus came into the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now read verse 17. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son into the world that the world through him, through the Son, through Jesus Christ, might be saved. This moment in time when he was on the cross, this is part of the salvation for why he was sent, doing the will of God. So again, we might ask the question, why then did Jesus ask the question? To put it in a real simple term, other than what I think we've already looked at, that he sensed, that he felt it, whatever term we would want to use, that I don't think we're that sensitive, that Jesus Christ was, that he could tell even for a split second or whatever the time was that he turned his, you know, that he looked away from him. It was also to fulfill prophecy. And you may say, well, isn't this some kind of a cop-out to do this? And the answer is no. We got to see it from a very particular way. It was to fulfill prophecy. You see, David, too, in a time of trouble, cried out the same words. It's over in Psalm 22 and verse 1, Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You see, these words spoken by a man after God's own heart almost 1,000 years before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, prophetically applied to Jesus Christ. These words spoken by David, written down almost, like I said, 1,000 years ago, were a foreshadow of this utter anguish that Jesus Christ felt when the Father turned away from the sins of the world that now were upon Jesus Christ that he was carrying. From this incredible act of love, both the Father and the Son, we should be able to come away now and looking at this and appreciate how absolutely horrible sin is. I'd like for us also to consider what the Father must have been experiencing as he watched this plan unfold. This plan that he and his Son had determined would happen long, long before. Because as it says, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So we know from way back when, whatever we would determine that the foundation of the world was, whatever moment that was, at the time of Jesus Christ's life, how long had that been? I don't know. Some say it was when the earth was created. Some say that it was from the moment that Adam sinned. You know what? I don't know. The scripture says, slain from the foundation of the world. It doesn't really identify the exact moment of when that was. I think it's at least from the time that Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned. They knew that that plan had to be taken out. I knew it had to be carried on. I knew it was at least from there. And that's roughly 4,000 years in human terms. So we know Jesus Christ was aware of this for at least, shall we say, 4,000 human years, that this was going to happen. So this was a plan that had been determined long, long before. We also can think on this day as a real Father's Day. And thank God, our Father, for giving so much for us. What Jesus was enduring is exactly what God had prepared for so long before. The Old Testament scriptures testify this over and over and over. Our Father in heaven loved his son Jesus, and our Father in heaven loves all of his future sons. And the Father knew what this sacrifice would begin to make possible. It wasn't possible until that moment in time. Oh yeah, he was slain from the foundation of the world. But this was the moment it happened. And he understood what this sacrifice was going to begin to make possible. And we also need to remember that our Father did this while we were yet enemies. Let's go to Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It was that act on that cross that was the moment that all of this has taken place, that all of this is happening. I want all of us also to think about how much hurt a physical father must have and experience when he sees one of his children suffering. Those of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about. Whether you're a father or a mother. Because I think all of us certainly understand that a truly loving father who even sees his child about to get hurt, what does that parent do? He tries to rescue him. He tries to rescue him. But Jesus' Father knew this terrible, painful, and dreadful deed had to be done. What truly loving father would not lay down his life for his own son? You see, no real father enjoys seeing his child in pain. Oh, there are people out there who torture their children. I'm not talking about that. That's not a real father. That's totally something else. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about no real father enjoys seeing his child in pain of any kind. So as we contemplate what a physical father might be feeling, we need to let ourselves remember that our Heavenly Father created the idea of fathering, and our Heavenly Father is the one who designed our human feelings in his image and in his likeness. It was our Heavenly Father who created this fatherly caring. I want you to go back with me now to Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, brethren, as we look toward the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, I want us to think about what both the Father and the Son went through for us. And thank God that this is the kind of precious Savior and Divine Father that you and I have. As we come and as we really, absolutely, truly realize and recognize they did this incredible act for us. For us. It was, without doubt, the greatest, the most selfless, and the most costly price that has ever been or ever will be paid. And now the Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. How truly blessed we really are.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.